This is the BBC.
You're listening to The Archers Omnibus from BBC Radio 4.
Well, if that's what you think, you've got to come clean with her.
I don't know, Jenny.
So you keep saying.
I'm probably reading too much into her reaction.
But what if you're not? Ruth isn't stupid, you know.
No, I'm well aware of that.
And if she does manage to uncover some more information about those Brantford brothers...
Yes, I get it.
And if she's already suspicious after what Bert told
Jenny,
her...
Jenny, can we just leave it for the moment? It's all getting a bit much.
Fine. Well, if I'm going to morning service, better make a move. Finished with that cup.
Here you are. I mean, even if, and it's a very big if, even if she can establish a link between the Brantfords and Home Farm, it doesn't necessarily point the finger at me, does it?
Oh, come on, Brian, of course it does.
Well, they could have dumped the stuff without my knowledge. If I stick to the story that I had no idea what they were putting there...
Look, people now know they were offering money, lots of money. And Phil turned them down, Brian.
Oh, yes. Well, good for Phil.
We have got to face facts. I mean, the chances are Ruth's going to figure out the truth, and we can't keep lying our way out of things. I really think that you should be honest with her. It will be easier in the long run.
Yeah, but if I tell Ruth, she'll tell David, Adam, goodness knows who else. I mean, the more people who know, the more chance there is of word getting out. We simply can't let that happen. The amount of money we're having to shell out for the clean-up...
Oh, yes, I know
it'll
that.
It'll affect the insurance claim, and as I've said, Jenny, we could be ruined.
Are you sure you wouldn't like to come to church with me?
What?
Pray for guidance.
This is no joking matter, Jenny.
Who says I'm joking?
Morning, Clary.
Oh, hello.
How are you?
Oh, I'm all right.
And how's poor William?
He's, well, a bit better since the funeral.
Oh, it was a very moving occasion.
Yeah.
He must have taken great comfort from it, seeing how Nick was loved and valued by the whole community.
Yeah. So, you looking forward to Easter?
Yes, of course.
Family staying, are they?
No, not this year, alas. But we have a full house of B&B guests.
Oh, don't envy you that.
No, and they're not our regulars, unfortunately. There's one particularly annoying woman who seems to think that Robert and I are there to provide entertainment as well as bed and board. I was sitting quietly on the terrace yesterday, obviously engrossed in my book, whenever she comes to talk to me non-stop for half an hour about some dreary subject I have no interest in.
What are you reading?
Silmarillion.
The what?
Silmarillion. It's by J.R. Tolkien.
Oh, my boys just love thy films.
You mean The Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
Have they read the books?
Me too. Read books. Happy the day. Far quicker just to watch the film, I think, Linda.
Ah, Shula.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Alan.
Oh, don't apologise. There's plenty of time.
Oh, I was running a bit late this morning and then Benjamin here decided not to cooperate.
That's not like you, Benjamin. You're usually such a well-behaved donkey.
I really wanted to get him settled before the congregation arrived, but, well, things got a bit complicated.
Is everything all right?
Yes, fine. Is my mum here?
As far as I know, I haven't actually seen her to speak to, but... She wouldn't miss the Palm Sunday service, would she?
No.
Unless she was ill. She's not ill.
No, I just wondered.
Morning, Alan.
Hello, Jennifer.
Anyway, we'd better get inside.
Right, you are. Oh, Clary.
Morning.
Come on, Benjamin.
Oh, good to see you. I wasn't sure you'd be here.
Oh, I always enjoy Palm Sunday. Although it does seem strange being here without Nick.
I'm sure it does.
It was the one time of the week we'd always meet up, her and me. Coming to church?
Yeah, of course.
Now I got to know her, really, all those Sunday mornings. Anyway, thank you so much for the funeral last week. It was lovely.
No need to thank me, but know.
William had quite made up his mind he weren't even going to come.
What?
So glad he did. It's like, well, it's like he's really turned a corner since. Going back to work tomorrow.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Even Joe seems to have perked up a bit.
Yes, it's hit him very hard, isn't it?
Yeah. You can understand it, though, can't you? He thinks, why should he still be going strong at 96 when Nick... only 37.
37, yeah.
It's no age, is it?
No.
Still, she'd want us to be positive, wouldn't she? That's what Easter's about, isn't it? New beginnings.
Are you saving this seat, Linda?
No. Do join me, please.
It is nice to see the church so full.
Oh, indeed. Jennifer, could I ask you a question?
About what?
Well, you're a reader, aren't you?
A reader?
Of books.
Oh, yes.
Are you an admirer of J.R.R. Tolkien?
No, I wouldn't say I was his greatest fan. I read The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, but it's not really my cup of tea.
So you haven't read The Silmarillion?
Oh, good heavens, no. Far beyond my level of interest.
Oh, I know. I'm rapidly coming to the same conclusion. I don't suppose you happen to know if there's a film version.
Dear friends.
I don't believe so.
Today, we're gathered to begin our keeping of Holy Week. On this day, Christ entered Jerusalem in triumph. A triumph that led to suffering and death, but ultimately to resurrection and new life. In faith and love, may we follow this Messiah who came in such humility, riding on a donkey.
But still no end in sight.
Unfortunately not. Mm. Bye, Alan.
Oh, bye, Linda.
And thank you for a very inspiring service.
Oh, thanks. Hope to see you on Friday.
Yes. They're still trying to measure the extent of the contamination.
Must be a costly business.
Oh, yes.
An insurance company's taking eternity these days, don't they?
Oh, here comes the star of the show.
Oh.
Well done, Shula.
Benjamin.
Well, you've got that donkey so well trained.
Oh, it's nothing to do with me. He's a very docile old thing most of the time.
Anyway, I'd better be getting home. Thank you again, Alan.
Oh, don't forget the vigil on Friday. Oh. The church will be open all day, so if you need a bit of peace and quiet...
Oh, well, I'll bear it in mind. Bye.
Bye.
Yes, I must be getting back too.
Oh, thank you for bringing Benjamin.
Pleasure.
Did you find your mum, by the way?
What?
Your mum. You were looking for her earlier.
Oh, no, that was just... No, it was nothing, not important.
What's the matter?
Nothing.
Come on, Shula. We've known each other a long time.
Really, Alan, everything's fine.
It's not, though, is it?
No. The fact is, Alistair and I are splitting up.
Oh, Shula. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Well, it's not common knowledge yet, and obviously we need to tell Dan, so please don't say anything.
No, of course. Come on, just step over here.
My mum's having difficulty accepting it, which was why I was actually avoiding her this morning. I didn't want to get into another discussion about it. She just doesn't understand why, you see, why I should want to leave him.
Oh, sure, I just don't know what to say.
I've just had enough. But please keep it to yourself.
Of course, I wouldn't breathe a word. But you do know, don't you? My door is always open if you want to come and talk.
To be honest, Alan, I really don't. I've talked myself to a standstill.
Thanks for letting me know, anyway. Yeah. Bye.
Don't believe it.
Oh, what's the matter?
That was Justin.
Oh, I gathered that.
He's been playing golf with Andrew Eagleton, who apparently heard on the grapevine about Price Bauman pulling out of their deal with us.
What's it got to do with him?
Absolutely nothing. But he's alleging that it's made him rethink Beale's relationship with Home Farm. And he's decided Martin Gibson has a point after all.
Oh, what about?
About the estate arable contract.
But that's only just been settled.
I know. But Eagleton's changed his mind.
Already?
And as Justin says, if he brings it up at the next BL meeting and insists on another vote, we could very well lose.
Oh, surely not.
No, we could easily. We simply can't afford to lose that contract.
Can't Justin do something?
Well, he's doing his best, but without success. And he's not going to get Martin to shift. He's still seething about me siding with Justin last week. Martin just wants to get rid of me so he can grab the BL chair for himself.
The Arrow contract's really nothing to do with you.
I know.
It's Adam's business, in all but name, and the BL board were full of praise for him.
Exactly, which goes to prove this is rank opportunism. Martin wants shot of me, just using the estate contract as a weapon.
So what are you going to do?
I don't know. I mean, well, I suppose I'd better call a meeting of the partnership, hadn't I?
Yes, you should.
Because if we're going to fight this, I need to know I've got the full backing of the family.
And Ruth.
Well, she's only there to represent Rory's interests.
But if she's harbouring doubts about your veracity...
She's not going to bring it up at a partner's meeting.
Ooh, you don't know that.
Oh, come on, Jenny.
If she's starting to believe that you can't be trusted, well, who knows what she'll do. So surely it's better to be straight with her.
But what if she shops me to the Environment Agency?
Oh, she won't. It's not in Rory's interest, is it, to have that kind of trouble heaped on the family?
Is that going to stand in her way? I mean, she's not just Rory's trustee, is she? She's an independent woman with a mind of her own. Oh, what on earth was I thinking of?
What do you mean?
When I picked her to represent Rory. If I'd had any sense, I'd have chosen someone with a bit more family loyalty.
Well, you are stuck with Ruth. Oh. And if she starts discussing her suspicions with David or whoever, it'll soon be all around the village.
Now, David wouldn't spread gossip like that.
Well, word will get around, believe me, unless you put a stop to it. The only way you can do that is to grasp the nettle and come clean with Ruth. There is no other option, Brian.
All right, I'll do it. I don't have much choice, do I?
I tried to talk to her at church yesterday. She was busy, but I got the distinct impression that she really didn't want to talk to me.
You too, eh?
So, things are no better.
Oh, I tried to take your advice, Jill. Not give up. Keep trying, but...
No good?
No, she has absolutely no desire to even listen to my side of things. I mean, she's perfectly polite about it, apologetic even. But she's adamant. As far as she's concerned, there's nothing more to be said.
I'm so sorry.
So am I.
You've got to keep trying, Alistair.
I want to, but if she's going to carry on like this, barely able to be in the same room as me... Do you want to come in and wait?
No, I don't think it would help matters to ambush her.
No, probably not.
And I really should be getting home.
Morning.
Oh, hello, Philip.
Hiya. Is Shula around?
No, she's out with some riders at the moment.
I'll see you soon, Alistair.
Yes, OK. Bye, Jill.
Sorry, did I interrupt something?
No, it's fine. So, what brings you here?
The end wall of the stable block.
What about it?
It's falling down.
Is it?
Didn't you know? Mortar's all crumbling. Shula mentioned it the other day.
Oh, OK.
The lads aren't actually doing it till Wednesday, but I've got some gear to drop off. Is it OK if I leave it down by the end, eh?
Yeah, I guess.
And if you could let Shula know?
OK. Although, it might be better if you ring her. She's not talking to me at the moment.
Oh, sorry. Had a row?
Not really, no. She's just decided she doesn't want to be married to me anymore.
Oh, no. Oh, Alistair, I'm so sorry. Me and my big mouth, I had no idea.
No, neither did I.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
well, is there anything I can do? Can I buy you a drink or something?
Well, if you're free this evening...
I'll be done by about 6.
Wouldn't mind getting out of the house for a while.
Right, 6:30 in the Bull.
All of which means that contract for the estate, Arabelle, is once again on the line.
I don't believe it.
So I need to call an emergency partnership meeting. Are you free on Wednesday afternoon?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, the thing is, Ruth, people seem to have got hold of the notion that the entire Home Farm brand is toxic.
That was always the danger, wasn't it? Particularly since the dumping seems to have happened after you acquired the land.
Yeah, well, that's something I wanted to talk to you about. It rather looks as though I might have been responsible.
What?
Well, I'd honestly quite forgotten about it. It was decades ago. I'd only just acquired the land and was busy clearing it for cultivation. The pond at Lowmead became a bit of a dump, so I was planning to chuck a fair bit of debris in there myself. But I'd genuinely forgotten, believe me, until those drums were uncovered, it was the Branford brothers, the ones you mentioned. I mean, you have to believe me, Ruth, it was purely for the money. And we were really struggling at the time. I'd only just married Jenny.
But those drums were uncovered weeks ago.
Yeah.
So you've known all this time, and you haven't said a word.
Well, I was mortified when I remembered, and I just couldn't... I just didn't know what to do for the best. I mean, the financial consequence could be catastrophic.
So why are you telling me now?
Because... Well, I didn't want to lie to you. It didn't seem fair.
Or as soon as I mentioned the Brantfords and started talking about research, you panicked that I'd work it out anyway. I wasn't born yesterday, Brian.
No, well, no, I suppose you're right.
I know I'm right.
But I'm begging you, please, please keep it to yourself.
Does anyone else know?
Only Jenny.
Oh, what about the rest of the partnership?
No, no, I haven't told them.
Well, I think you should.
No, absolutely not. They really do not need to know.
But you can't keep something like this under wraps. How can you expect the partnership to make crucial decisions about the future of the farm when you're withholding a vital piece of information?
What I'm concerned about is my children's future, their inheritance. And if this gets out, it could bankrupt the farm.
And you honestly think you can keep that quiet?
We've got to.
But you just admitted you were worried I was working it out for myself.
Yes, because...
That's what made you feel the need to confess.
Because you're Rory's attorney.
But if I could work it out, it's only a matter of time before other people do.
Well, there was always going to be gossip and speculation. But we can keep this knowledge to ourselves.
You want me to lie on your behalf?
No, not lie, Ruth. Just not saying anything.
I'm not sure I can do that.
You have to, for Rory. You're a mother, come on. You'd move heaven and earth to keep your kids safe, wouldn't you?
Yeah, of course.
If this gets out, I could be prosecuted. I could end up in jail. I asked you because I knew you'd do the right thing by Rory. Do you honestly think that would be in his best interests?
Hello? What are you doing in here?
Just giving Helen a hand. She's got 8 people coming to this class tomorrow, so she decided we should rearrange the seating.
Oh.
Bit of a squeeze, but I'm sure we'll manage.
Did the rest of the equipment arrive?
Yes, a load more bowls and cheese moulds. You're back early.
Yeah, well, plenty of volunteers at the Elms today, so I left the clearing up to them.
And how did the stew go down?
Great success. Even Olwyn was impressed.
Who's Olwyn?
The woman who complained last week that it was bland and tasteless. Oh. Hey, guess what? She used to be in CND back in the 80s.
Oh, yeah?
I didn't recognise her at all. She's sure she knew me from somewhere. And we were going through all the possibilities, you know, farm shop, school. And then she said, weren't you involved in CND? Which, of course, I was.
Well, I remember. You took John and Helen on a march, and you took up with that Greenham Common woman. What was her name?
Rose.
Rose.
Olwyn remembers her.
Yeah, scared the life out of me, she did.
In fact, they kept in touch for a while. Then Olwyn's life fell apart. And as she says, it's tricky keeping in touch when you don't have a permanent address.
What happened to her?
I don't know.
Well, it's usually drugs or alcohol, isn't it?
Often, yes, but not always. Not by any means. And it's not something you like to ask. You just have to wait for people to tell you.
So, you're going to report me to the EA?
No, of course not. I'm not about to send Rory's father to prison, am I? But you've got to be honest with your family.
Yeah, but I just can't bear the thought of them knowing.
Well, I'm rather less concerned about your hurt pride than I am about withholding information from the other partners.
Yeah, but the more people who know, the more likely it is that word will get out.
They're your family, Brian.
It only takes one slip. To Chris or Ian, the EA will find out and that'll be it. And the way we're going, potential bankruptcy, at least.
Okay, I get
it. So you won't say anything to them, please, Ruth.
Wow.
Thank you. And obviously you mustn't tell anyone else.
No, of course not.
Not even David. You must promise me that.
Yeah, all right. For now. Hi, Jill.
Hello. Oh, Fran. What brings you here?
Oh, I just
came
to...
Sorry, after you.
I need to set up a meeting of the Home Farm Partnership at rather short notice. Anyway, I'll see you on Wednesday.
Let me know what time.
Yes, OK. And thank you.
Poor Fran. This contamination business just won't go away, will it?
Tell me about it. So, did you manage to get hold of Shula?
No, unfortunately not.
Oh.
She was out with some pupils. But Alistair told me that she claims to have said all there is to be said, and there's no point going over the same ground. So I suspect she probably is avoiding me.
Well, maybe give her a few days.
I've done what I always do, haven't I, Ruth?
What's that?
Reacted badly. It's like Pip's baby all over again. I never once stopped to think how Shula might feel that I failed her.
It's not your fault.
She's my child. She must have been so unhappy for so long. How could I not have realised?
You got anything lined up for tomorrow, Tony?
Nothing special. Why?
Well, could you possibly look after Jack again while Helen's running her class? Only I'd really like to go back to the Elms.
Oh, you're not scheduled to cook again, are you?
No. I just want to check in with Olwyn. I'd love to hear more about what happened to Rose.
You really want to go digging up the past?
Well, we were good friends, Rose and I.
Yes, I know you were.
And I know you didn't approve.
Oh, I thought I'd lose you, Pat. I thought you were going to run off and join some feminist commune.
We did get through a bit of a sticky patch, didn't we?
A bit more than that. I really thought our marriage wasn't going to survive.
Well, it did. We got through like we always do. And here we are, 40-odd years later, with 3 lovely grandsons. Oh, that pasta's boiling over.
Oh, I've got it. And, of course, I'll look after Jack tomorrow. Will Helen need help with anything else?
No, she's got Susan doing the clearing up and what have you again. Perhaps you could escort them through to the tea room at lunchtime.
Escort them? You're not the Ritz, Pat.
It's important to Helen, Tony.
At your service, madam.
It's good to have someone to talk to who's not an archer. Most of my good friends are Shula's relatives.
What about your dad?
Oh. He means well, but emotional discussions have never really been his strong point.
Have you told him?
Oh, he knows we're going through a rough patch, not that it's potentially terminal.
You should talk to him, though. He is your dad.
He's a bit of an intellectual snob, my dad. Never understood why I wanted to be a vet. And when I married Shula, a countrywoman keen on horses, he was unbearable.
But didn't he move to Ambridge to be with you?
Hmm? And he changed his mind a bit about Shula. So if our marriage is falling apart, it'll probably be my fault. Oh, I don't know, maybe I'm being unfair to him.
You didn't see this coming at all?
Mm-mm. Complete bolt from the blue. I've been trying to think back, but... yeah, there have been times when I've noticed she was a bit down, but everyone gets like that, don't they?
Not to an extent, yeah.
But then last year was, well, a nightmare, if I'm honest. Difficult for all sorts of reasons. But this, I had absolutely no idea it was coming. I must be exceptionally dense.
Or she's exceptionally good at hiding her emotions.
Yeah, she must be.
Oh, I remember how it was when I split from my wife. You feel like your life's stuck, that all affection's bled out of the relationship. You start imagining life without the person, then you feel horribly guilty about having those thoughts, so you put on an act and pretend everything's fine.
But I love her. In spite of everything she's said and done recently, nothing's changed for me, but everything's changed for her. Mm. And I didn't even notice. I'm trying to accept it. She thinks I'm not, but I really am. I'm trying to see things from her perspective, but I can't. I really don't understand it, Philip. How do I do this? How do I deal with life without her?
Yeah. So that's still on, is it, Kirsty and Philip?
Mm, very much so.
Oh.
You don't approve?
I didn't say that. I'm glad she's happy, but obviously I worry about Tom.
He's fine with it, Mum.
Oh, well, good.
You don't sound very convinced.
I just wish he could find someone as well.
Oh, Tom's a big boy, Mum. He will when he's ready. Better just hope she's a fan of Kefir.
Yes. Anyway, are you sure you can manage on your own?
What?
Well, this, the cheesemaking class.
Well, I did it last week, remember, and it all went perfectly smoothly.
But you got double the number this time.
Which is a good thing, right?
Yes, of course it is. Everything's arranged for the coffee break.
Oh, thank you.
And the stew for lunch will just need heating through.
Oh, you don't have to do that. They're just going to have food from the tea rooms like last time.
Right, here's the rest of your kit. All washed and sterilised.
Oh, thank you, Susan, that's brilliant.
There's eight of everything except that whisk thingy. There's nine of them for some reason.
You'll pitch in and help, won't you, Susan?
Hey?
Like you did last week?
Well, it's not that I'm not willing.
No, it's all right, Susan.
But I can't just drop everything. I mean, we haven't even started on the yoghurt yet this morning.
Dad and I have got it all arranged.
But he's going to have his hands full with Jack.
And it's not fair on Clary, leaving her to cope on her own.
Well, you managed on your own all that time Clary was off.
Dad is perfectly capable of heating some stew while keeping an eye on Jack. He did cook Christmas dinner, remember?
And then there's a kefir.
What?
Well, I haven't had a moment for that this week.
Oh, perhaps I should stay and help them out in the dairy.
Go on, Mum, off you go. We can manage perfectly well. You'll be much more use at the Elms.
Well, if you're sure.
You've done your bit, OK? More than. And it's much appreciated. Now go.
Oh, hello, Will. How are things?
Oh, you know, we're getting by. Just coming to grab a paper. I'm actually back at work now.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. And Poppy's at nursery.
Ah, and she's OK, is she?
Yeah, seems to be. I was a bit worried how she was going to cope. But she was fine yesterday. Absolutely fine.
Oh.
And she slept through the night last night in her own bed. Oh. And she hasn't done that for a while.
And how about you? You enjoying being back at work?
Yeah. Well, there's not much to do this time of year.
No, I guess not.
Well, putting out a bit of grub for the birds that survived the season. That's about it, really. But just being out in the woods with all the familiar signs of spring. Sometimes it's nice just to think about something else.
Mm.
Anyway, how about you?
Hmm?
Hear you sold your soul to Justin Elliott?
Oh, well, he made me an offer I simply couldn't refuse.
Oh, so you're giving up breeding your own pigs?
Oh, no, I hope not. We're working on a plan to move them down to Ollatree, where I started all those years ago, looking after Mr. Archer's pigs.
Well, but you can't do the day-to-day?
No. Rex Fairbrother's taking it on.
Rex? What does he know about pigs?
Not a lot, but he's a sensible sort of chap. I'm meeting him up at Willow Farm this morning to start showing him the ropes.
Sabrina Thwaite was doing Helen's course.
Ridiculous, isn't it?
But what does she want to learn to make cheese for?
Oh, too much time on her hands, that's her trouble. And you know what she called me? Cheese monitor.
You what?
The cheek of the woman, honestly. Just because I was helping to clear up at the end of the day. Now, how are we doing in here?
Well, we're a bit behind, to be honest.
Oh, there's a load of washing up out there still, but it'll just have to wait.
I'll give you Anne with it later, but could you get the tops on that lot, do you think? While I make a start on the raspberry?
Yep, okay. Oh, honestly, Clary. I do resent being treated like a general skiver.
Yeah, I know what you mean. We're skilled workers, we are.
Exactly. And I'm supposed to be manager of Tom's kefir business, if I ever get time to do it. There's goat's milk waiting to be processed. I haven't had a moment all day.
But this business of Helen's, these classes, it's only like a pilot project, isn't it?
Oh, you reckon nothing's going to come of it?
Can't see it myself, to be honest. But if it does take off, she's got to get some extra help in, hasn't she? Mm. She can't keep all in us in to do the dirty work. Oh, is that mine?
Oh, you better check it.
Yeah. Hello, William, what's up? go round the back way. It'll take me a while. Yeah, all right. I'm on my way. Bye. I'm really sorry, Susan. I'm going to have to go.
What's happened?
There's a lorry overturned on the bypass and William's stuck in the tailback. He can't get Poppy from nursery. A poor little mite will be beside herself.
Susan and Clary were rushed off their feet. There was an issue with the yoghurt lids. Jack's played up dad all day, so the house is a bit of a mess.
Where is he now?
He's gone to get Henry from school, and I'm just trying to clear a space to get the boys' tea.
Oh, dear. I knew I shouldn't have gone to the Elms.
Oh, don't be daft, Mum.
It was a wasted journey anyway.
Was it?
Well, my main reason for going was to link up with this woman, Olwyn.
The one you used to know in CND?
I really only knew her in passing.
Can you just pass me those bowls?
But she didn't show up, which was strange. Because yesterday when I said goodbye to her, she said, see you tomorrow, all bright and cheery. And I can't help worrying that my presence put her off.
Why would you think that?
Maybe it was a knock to her pride, seeing someone from her past. Maybe I've made her feel a bit of a failure.
Yeah, I can see what you mean. I'm sure she'll turn up. Now, is that everything? Oh, small cutlery on the side there.
How did you get on?
Yeah, great, really good. The only thing that's gone right today, actually. Lovely bunch of people, all dead keen on making their own cheese.
Good.
I really think it's the way things are going. People don't want to be passive consumers anymore. They want to get involved, get stuck in.
So you think there's a future in this?
Well, obviously, I'll have to sit down and do a proper evaluation of all the feedback, but yes, I really think we're on to a winner.
So, what's your next move?
Well, I guess we'd better advertise the classes more widely. Try and establish just how big a market there is out there. Oh, did I tell you? A couple of people from the first class came into the shop yesterday.
Really?
Saying how brilliant the cheese-making course was.
Great.
They bought a load of stuff.
So there's a knock-on effect for the rest of the business.
Well, a bit early to tell, but I really think this model, this way of engaging with our customer base, is the way forward. So, definite grounds for optimism, I'd say.
And no sooner have I got back into the dairy than Clary gets a call from William. Some problem with little Poppy and she rushes off.
Mm.
So not only have I got to finish the yoghurt on my own, I have to keep running backwards and forwards to the cheese room, helping to give demonstrations and answering questions. Mm-hmm. One woman wanted to know the entire yoghurt making process from cow to consumer.
Oh, well, at least they were interested.
And then the sealer machine jammed and I still had to wash up all the utensils they'd used.
Yeah, you should have just left them.
Oh, they'd still be there in the morning, believe me. All crusted up with bits of stale dried out cheese.
Well, here you go. Nice cup of tea and a chocolate biscuit.
Oh, thanks, love. Anyway, how did you get on with Rex?
Yeah, not bad.
If it was Toby, I'd be worried.
Well, he's just helping with a move to Hollertree. I think Toby only signed up to the idea so David would renew their lease.
Oh, right.
And he can keep his gin factory going.
Rex did all right, did he?
He's a bright lad, keen to learn. Doesn't have to be told anything twice. And not afraid of hard work, so yeah, I reckon he has the makings of a half-decent pig man.
Well, I'm glad someone has had a constructive day. Honestly, Neil, I'm beginning to think they gave me the title of kafir manager just to keep me sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how am I supposed to keep the kafir going if I have to spend half my day clearing up after the rest of them?
You know what, Susan?
No, don't tell me. I owe at least a fiver to Alan's lent appeal.
Oh, I wasn't going to say that.
But I couldn't keep all that bottled up.
I was going to say, when I start my job in the new pig unit, I shall be earning a really decent salary for the first time in my life. So there'll be no need for you to carry on working.
What?
You could give it all up, become a lady of leisure.
Oh, no.
Like Sabrina Thwaite.
Well, I couldn't do that.
Why not?
Well, what would I do with myself all day?
She's asleep.
Oh, thank goodness.
Oh, tired herself out with all that crying.
Must be exhausted, poor little mite.
Don't mean she won't wake up again in an hour or two.
By the time I got to the nursery, she was just inconsolable.
I did call them to say what had happened.
Oh, I know you did, love, I know. But Poppy don't understand about traffic jams. The nursery nurse said, obviously with her losing her mum so recent, when you didn't turn up, in her little head, it was like her mum had left her and now her dad had left her too.
Oh, don't say that, Mum. I can't bear it.
And I tried to explain, but she was just in too much of a state. I thought she was starting to understand all this.
I've been trying so hard to do the right thing for Poppy.
I know you have.
And I really thought we were doing okay. And then I go and completely screw it up.
No, it's not your fault, love. There's no way you could have foreseen...
Oh, but if I'd have set off sooner or checked the traffic reports, I could have found another route for her to think I'd abandoned her. I can't forgive myself for that.
Oh, she'll get over it, love.
I wish I could believe that.
They bounce back, little kids. You'd be surprised.
Oh, I can't take her back to nursery, though, can I?
Maybe leave it this week. Then after the Easter holidays, she can maybe start again.
I just want life to go back to how it was.
I know you do, love.
I mean, I know Nick's gone. It can't be the same, but I miss coming home to a house full of kids. Jake and Mia and George. I hardly seem to see him these days. No wonder Poppy feels abandoned.
But with you back at work...
I know.
What about getting some regular help?
No, Mum. I am not having some stranger looking after her. She's confused enough as it is.
Well, I tell you what. Schools break up in a couple of days, so George and Kira will be home. There'll always be someone around to look after them. So why don't you and Poppy come over too? Stay at Grange Farm for a bit.
Oh, I don't know.
Jake and Mia can join us at the weekend. You said they're moving back from Andrews then.
You've got a full house as it is, Mum.
We can make room. We've done it before. Then after Easter, you can have another think. All the family back under the same roof. What do you reckon?
Thank you all for finding time to come to this meeting, because I know it was very short notice.
Shouldn't we wait for Kate?
Where is she?
Driving Rory over to Brookfield.
Couldn't he go on his bike?
He had a puncture.
Will she be long, do you think? Only I do need to get home fairly soon.
In that case, maybe we should start without her. Did you manage to get hold of Debbie in the end?
Oh, yes. She called back early this morning.
When's she going to come over? I haven't seen her in ages.
Oh, I know. She keeps saying she's coming and then something else crops up.
Anyway, I explained the situation to her and she thinks... well, look, I'd better fill the rest of you in on what's happened.
Yes, let's get on with it.
There's a renewed threat to the estate arable contract.
What?
That's only just been sorted, hasn't it?
It was, yes.
Yeah, but there's been a change of heart by the board. Or at least by one member of the board.
Oh, let me guess. Martin Gibson, again.
I'm pretty sure he's behind it. Mm. You know, he was really hacked off at the board meeting last week when the vote on the market retail development didn't go his way.
Yeah, and he's had it in for you for ages.
He has indeed. Because he wants the BL chair for himself. But it's Andrew Eagleton who's trying to pull the plug on the contract.
Andrew? But he's always seemed really satisfied with the job we do.
I know, it makes no sense at all. As I said, I'm pretty sure that Martin's behind it, although... Andrew claims it was Price Bowman pulling out of their deal with us that changed his mind.
No.
Not your fault, darling.
But I can't help feeling guilty by association.
But this is all happening as a direct consequence of the contamination problem.
Absolutely, without doubt.
Which is so unfair. None of it's our fault.
Anyway, well, look, that's why I've had to call you all together, because we need to decide how we're going to deal with this. Because, well, I don't need to tell you how important the estate contract is to our balance sheet. And Justin is of the opinion, and I'm afraid he's right, that if it came to a vote of the BL board now, we'd probably lose.
You're kidding.
No, I'm afraid not, Adam. If Andrew's had a change of heart, it's likely Annabelle will too. So I've decided that the only thing for me to do is to resign from the chair to cool things down.
Oh, no, Dad, you can't do that. You can't let Martin Gibson walk all over you. Not again.
Let me finish.
We settled this at the last meeting.
Look, I think We should hive off the contracting business into a separate company. Call it South Borsetshire Farm Contracting or whatever, and put Adam in sole charge. As you said, Adam, the board have no problem with you. Even Martin's been known to sing your praises. So the arable contract will be safe.
I can see the logic in that, but I'm with Alice on this. I resent our being bounced into changing our ways of working just to satisfy the warped perceptions of Martin Gibson.
Yeah, totally. Well said, Adam.
Yeah, but it's not just him anymore.
But he's behind this. He's the one feeding poison into everyone else's ears.
What about Debbie? What did she say?
Same as you.
Good for Debbie.
She was firmly of the opinion that Brian should not give in to pressure.
Well, that's it then, isn't it? We're all agreed. I'm sure Kate will feel the same.
Hang on a minute.
You've got to resist this, Dad. You've got to dig your heels in.
Ruth, you wanted to say something?
Yeah. I wonder if I could have a word with Jennifer and Brian in private.
Is that really necessary?
But we already have a majority. Can't we just put it to the vote?
There's just something I feel needs clarification.
How are you getting on?
Okay. Should get it finished this afternoon.
Oh, good.
I reckon this wall's been damaged sometime in the past. Because that part of it's perfectly sound. It's just this corner section here where the mortar's crumbled away.
Someone probably reversed a horse box into it.
Oh, would that be you?
Not that I can remember. Must have been before my time.
Well, whoever fixed it did a rubbish job.
Yes. Would you like to come in for some lunch?
Oh, that's very kind of you.
It's just soup.
Is Alistair around?
No, he's doing TB tests today.
Oh, OK, yeah, soup would be lovely. Just need to finish off this lot of mortar.
How long will that take?
Oh, 10, 15 minutes.
OK, lunch in 20.
I'm sorry, Brian, I can't go along with this.
But you promised you'd keep the information to yourself.
I promised I wouldn't report you to the Environment Agency, which is why I'm talking to you out here. I am not going to be the one to tell your children that their father is not being honest with them. But you must...
No, I'm not prepared to do that. Thought I'd made it clear to you.
But look, they are recommending a particular course of action because they don't know the facts. And you absolutely cannot agree to that recommendation when you know perfectly well it's based on a lie.
She's right, Brian.
What?
I'm sorry. I know it's not what you want to
you
hear.
You can't be serious,
Look, Jane. I have gone along with you for far too long. And I can't continue. The lies are killing me and it's not fair.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
I'm with Ruth.
Think of the consequences.
Well, I'm only too well aware of the possible consequences. But they're going to find out eventually.
I'm not getting any pleasure out of this.
I simply cannot carry on biting my tongue in front of the children.
You've got to face up to it. The longer you perpetuate the lie, the worse it's going to be when the truth comes out.
But the truth doesn't have to come out. Not if you both keep your mouths shut. Ruth, you're here to look after Rory's best interests. Now, we've already had this conversation. Do you really believe it's in his interest to discover his father's been economical with the truth?
Better now than in the future.
Better not at all.
Oh, it's not fair on the children, any of them. I can't just sit there while Adam and Alice treat you with compassion.
Oh, heaven's sake, this is like a witch hunt.
Oh, stop it, Brian. You're the one who brought this disaster down on us, so don't try playing the victim. I'm sorry, but I should have done this from the beginning. And if you won't tell the children, then I will.
No, Jenny, you can't do that.
Well, do it yourself then.
No, not now. Let's defer the decision. Call a halt to the meeting and say something's come up that needs to be looked into.
We went through this with IBR, Brian. And believe me, putting things off makes matters worse.
Exactly. You've got to do it, Brian. You have just got to bite the bullet.
Can I come in?
Oh, Philip. Yes, of course. Come and sit down.
Before I do, Shula, I have to be up front with you about something.
How do you mean?
I took Alistair for a drink the other night and he confided in me about your marital problems.
Oh, right. I'm a bit surprised. I didn't think anyone knew, apart from the family, obviously, but... Well, I'm glad he found someone to talk to. I'm sure he appreciated it.
I probably caught him at a weak moment. I got the feeling he needed to get it off his chest.
So no one else knows?
Well, I certainly haven't said anything.
It's just... Well, I know it's only a matter of time till it's all round the village... But we really need to tell Dan, our son, first.
Yeah, that's always difficult.
It's a hard conversation to have over the phone, though, isn't it?
Mm.
I don't really know how to explain it to him.
Kids can be surprisingly mature about these things. My son dealt with our divorce a lot better than I expected. I'm sure your Dan's a bright lad. He'll be all right.
Thank you.
So, we're still on for lunch?
Yes, of course. Do sit down.
Can I just give my hands a quick wash?
Yes, yes. Help yourself.
Thanks.
There's a towel just there. Actually, I'm really glad Alistair felt he could talk to you. I know he's finding it really difficult to accept my decision. And, well, there aren't many people he... I mean, here am I, surrounded by family. Mm. Whereas he, well, there's only his dad. And he's not always the easiest person to talk to about affairs of the heart.
The thing is, Shula, just because I've talked to Alistair about this, please don't think I'm taking sides.
No, I don't.
I'm divorced and I know. Well, certainly in my case, it was nobody's fault. We just reached the end of the road.
Yes, that's it. Anyway, soup. Help yourself to bread and butter.
Okay.
It's just... Well, it's ironic, I suppose, that both of us should choose you to confide in. You remember our conversation at the Hunt Ball?
Oh, of course I do.
It was very good of you to put up with me, crying on your shoulder like that.
Not at all.
I hardly knew you then, and... To be honest, I don't think I'd spoken to anyone about how I felt. Certainly not since my friend Caroline died, and I never really told her. I mean, I know I'd go on about Alistair and his more annoying habits, but I don't think I ever got to the point of admitting that I was actually contemplating leaving him. Anyway, there you are.
Oh, that smells lovely.
It's just leek and potato. Nothing very exciting.
It's delicious.
Well, it's quite hearty. Should keep the cold out. I would understand if you took Alistair's side. My mum has.
Your mum?
It came as a bit of a shock. My whole life she's been my number one supporter in everything I do. But she's very fond of Alistair, and the fact that I've hurt him so badly...
You feel really guilty, don't you?
Yes, I do. He's a good man. And I hate doing this to him. But I've been struggling for so long to hide my feelings. Thinking to myself, this will pass. I will get through it.
I know, I remember.
You do?
The last year of my marriage. You keep soldiering on, but there just comes a point where you have to admit that love's died.
Yes. And you can't carry on pretending.
Exactly. There's no going back. You've just got to face up to it.
Yes. It's so good to talk to someone who understands.
All this time you've been lying to us.
Well, not lying exactly.
What would you call it?
I just didn't think it would help matters for you all to know.
What matters? You mean your reputation? You think that's more important than being honest with your children.
Oh, Alice, darling.
I have been bending over backwards to defend you. You want to hear the flack I've been getting? At work? In the village?
Oh, shush, calm down.
Calm down!
I'm just as appalled as you are, Alice.
Adam, listen.
Maybe let him say his piece, Brian.
I can't believe I was stupid enough to believe a word you said. I knew it. I knew there was something going on. I should have listened to my gut.
It seemed to me better for all concerned.
And you knew about this, Mum?
Well, only for a few weeks.
What? And you just kept it to yourself?
It was wrong. I'm sorry.
You conspired with him.
Your mother didn't conspire. It was my fault. She said I should tell you.
You humiliated us.
Alice.
You kept us all in the dark.
We're supposed to be making a decision.
How can we decide anything after all this? It's impossible.
Yes, maybe you're right. We can't really do this today, not now. Ruth's correct. This does throw a whole different light on the matter.
How long have you known?
Only a couple of days, and I knew straight away that you had the right to know. I didn't think it was fair to keep it from you.
Ruth is blameless in this.
Well, thank you, Ruth, for forcing the issue.
It isn't something I've enjoyed doing.
So what happens now?
Well, the decision about the contract and everything else for that matter will have to be put on hold.
But the BL board is meeting next week. We have to have a strategy in place.
I know, but I need to talk to Debbie.
And Kate. She should have been back by now.
And I really think you should explain the situation to Rory.
Oh, he doesn't need to know.
You don't want him hearing it on the grapevine.
He's not going to get on the grapevine. He's only a boy.
Oh, Dad, he's 15, for heaven's sake. Perfectly old enough to know his father is a hypocrite.
Oh, Alice.
Anyway, we need to reconvene this meeting before the end of the week and decide how we're going to get out of this mess. But make no mistake, Brian. This changes everything.
Why don't you call the temp agency again?
Because they are completely useless. I think they are discriminating against me because I am Bulgarian.
You mean because your English is so terrible?
Did I say something wrong there?
No, only joking.
Stop it. I'm trying to be serious. That's why I'm looking for another agency.
You're allowed to be registered with two agencies.
Well, what has my current one found for me? 2 days in a school canteen, and then that nasty cafe, where they decide after just one day that they don't need me after all.
Oh, so you're going to take them to a tribunal, are you, for alleged discrimination?
Well, I thought they'd at least find me a job for a few weeks. I can't believe there is so little work to be had.
Expect things will pick up after Easter.
You think so?
It's only a couple of weeks till we have the embryo implant.
What's that got to do with anything?
I'm just saying.
Well, you think I'm going to sit on my backside for the next 9 months?
I'll help you out.
I know you would, but I will be bored without my wits.
You are.
That's not right, is it?
Out of my wits.
Okay. But seriously, Roy, I've got to find something. And quickly.
Can I interest you in a massage, Roy?
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to make you choke.
Okay. I'm not entirely sure what...
It's a special offer for Easter at Spiritual Home.
Oh, I see.
You bring a friend and he or she will get it for half price.
Oh, well, not really my scene. But I'll take a flyer for Linda. She did enjoy that treatment she had with your daughter.
Oh. Do you mind if I sit down for a minute?
No, help yourself.
Oh, thanks. This place is packed, isn't it? So unfair.
You're struggling a bit, are you?
Yeah. Everyone I've pressed a flyer on this morning said, oh, but isn't that the place that's been closed down because of the pollution?
Oh, that's nowhere near Spiritual Home, is it?
No, but Joe Public's convinced that you can't go within a mile of it without an oxygen mask. It's too depressing for words. Oh, anyway, what brings you to the tea room?
I'm escaping.
Oh, from Linda.
No, she's at work, but we have a house full of B&B guests.
Oh, dear. Well, at least business is booming.
Most of whom are charming, but there's this one woman who seems far less interested in getting out into the Borsetshire countryside than plonking herself down on the sofa and rabbiting on at great length about what she's read in the paper.
Oh, I know just how you feel. Only in my case, it's not a B&B guest, but my dad. He simply will not shut up.
About the contamination?
Oh, no. Well, not directly anyway. No, he just keeps going on and on about, well, family business, you know. I shouldn't have said anything.
Already forgotten.
But honestly, Robert, don't you think that parents have a duty to be honest and truthful with their children?
Well, it depends on the age of the children. When mine were little, I lied to them quite a lot.
Did you?
About whether there were really fairies at the bottom of the garden, that sort of thing.
Oh, no, that's different. This is about grown-up stuff. Oh, anyway, I'd better let you get back to your book. What are you reading?
The Hobbit.
Oh, how lovely. Oh, I adore Tolkien. Absolutely my favourite writer.
Oh, mine too. I persuaded Linda to read The Silmarillion.
Oh, The Silmarillion.
As part of her great reading project.
I once had this boyfriend. Oh, this is years and years ago now when I was young and carefree. But every night he'd read aloud to me from The Silmarillion. It was absolutely magical. Oh, I've been meaning to read that ever since. Oh, hello, Lexi.
Hello.
Morning.
What are you doing here?
Looking for a job.
Oh, no, they've got that young man working for them now.
I was hoping they might need extra staff for the Easter holiday. Oh, well, no harm in asking. If not, I'll just have to try somewhere else.
Oh, and Lexi, if you're going around the village, you wouldn't distribute some of these flyers, would you?
So
tell me, Robert, have they found the Arkenstone yet?
Still at it, then.
What?
The book.
Oh, Roy. I'm not getting very far. Robert assured me that once I got onto the Quenta Silmarillion, which is the history of the Silmarils and the war between whoever it is, the Moldor and the Norgoth, all would become clear. But I'm still completely in the dark.
I should wait till the film comes out.
Oh, I didn't know there was one.
December, I think.
Oh, dear, I don't know if I can wait that long. Before I forget, Roy, we need more of those flyers about Easter events at the ball.
Have they all gone?
Yes, all been snapped up. Though why Grey Gables' guests should be interested in egg hunts and Easter bonnet competitions is beyond me.
It's what they come here for. The simple pleasures of country life.
Oh, hello, Lexi. What are you doing here?
I've come to tell you the good news. Hello, Linda.
Morning.
I found a job.
Oh, yeah? Doing what?
I went to the tea room just to see if Fallon needed extra stuff for Easter. Unfortunately not, but Emma was there, and she said that the chicken factory are recruiting.
The chicken factory?
So I found them, and I'm being interviewed next week.
I'm not sure that's a good idea.
It's a terrible idea. Those are industrially produced chickens, Lexi. Probably pumped full of hormones and antibiotics.
I'm going for a job, not for dinner.
Oh, dear.
It's a pretty grim job. I mean, you'll be on your feet all day, working on a production line.
I know perfectly well what is involved. I have worked in factories before, you know.
You really don't have to do this.
I want to. Okay, it's not the best job in the world, but it will do till something better comes along. Oh, by the way, some flyers from Kate.
I don't even know what to do, Mum. Spiritual Home has never been this quiet. I've literally had two bookings today, and I've spent all morning trying to promote it.
Well, schools have broken up now.
Yeah, that's not the reason everyone's staying away, is it?
You can give me a hand out here if you like.
Oh, wow, thanks, Mum.
The slugs and snails have been out in force since that rain last night.
Where's Dad?
I don't know. I'm just keeping out of his way.
He was bending my ear earlier, trying to justify what he'd done. I can't believe you knew.
He made me promise to keep it to myself.
He seems to be very good at enforcing people's silence.
But you do understand why it is so important, don't you? If the EA finds out...
The Environment Agency is one thing, but to lie to all of us... I mean, what was the point of setting up the partnership if most of the partners are going to be kept in the dark?
You're right. Of course you're right. And I suppose it is good that Ruth brought it out into the open.
Shouldn't have been left to Ruth, though, should it? You knew it was wrong, and surely it's the duty of parents to be honest with their children.
Kate, you're hardly in a position to lecture me about parental duty.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, you haven't always been entirely upfront with your children, have you?
Don't you dare turn this on me!
Oh, I am just saying that sometimes being a parent involves difficult choices.
Yes, it does, and you got this one badly wrong. Why can't you just admit it?
I'm beginning to think I shall have to admit defeat.
But you got to the end of Moby Dick.
Well, at least Moby Dick has a story. And there are proper characters. Ishmael, Captain Ahab. And where's the Captain Ahab of the Silmarillion, pray?
What about Melkor?
Who's Melkor?
Who's Melkor? The baddie. The one who wreaks havoc everywhere. Destroys the two trees.
The two trees?
With the help of Ungoliant, the dark spider. You must remember that bit. And then he steals the Silmarils and escapes to Middle-earth. You can't tell me that's not a good story.
Look, I'm sorry, Robert. I know you love this book. But I have to be honest, I think it's a rambling assemblage of no literary merit whatsoever.
That's another pound you owe Alan's lent appeal.
Well, that wasn't a complaint. It was literary criticism.
Sounded like a complaint to me.
Oh, you want to hear me complain about the Silmarillion? Take a seat, Robert. Get yourself comfy while I find my purse.
But what about your commitment to a more positive outlook on life?
I think that particular lifestyle challenge has run its course, don't you? There you are. £20. That should buy sufficient time for me to tell you exactly what I think about your favourite book.
Dear.
I have never been so bored in my entire life, Robert. There is no way this could be described as literary fiction. It is a collection of random notes cobbled together after Tolkien's death, which, in my opinion, puts a rather large dent in his reputation.
But he creates an entire world.
He creates, at infinitely tedious length, a personal fairyland, peopled by this vast array of interchangeable characters, all with silly names, who engage in utterly pointless battles with each other.
It's not all battles.
Don't interrupt. I'm paying for this, remember.
Wait till you get to the story of Beren and Lúthien.
Life's too short, Robert.
Most beautiful, heroic romance.
Yes, and let me guess, they end up dead.
It's tragic.
Oh, please! I've read enough to know that it will be a sentimental coupling of two cardboard characters, which will probably be described at great length as a mythic union.
It was the first union of man and elf.
Oh, well, hallelujah. Look, seriously, Robert... The whole thing is turgid, bloated, sententious.
Oh, I'm sorry you don't like it.
And in my personal catalogue of unreadable books, it definitely earns the number one spot.
There's plenty of people like me who believe it's a masterpiece.
I know. I know.
I can't begin to explain that, but I deeply regret the 10 days of my life that I have devoted to the wretched thing.
Feel better now?
Yes, actually. One of the most satisfying £20 I have ever spent.
What are you doing?
Contemplating the ruin of my future.
Oh, Kate.
Just when Spiritual Home looked like it was going to be a sustainable business, this happens.
We'll get through it, darling. And I'm sorry about what I said earlier.
Oh, forget it. Doesn't matter anymore.
You had every right to be angry. When your father admitted that he was responsible for all this, I should not have kept it to myself.
Look at it, Mum. Look at the mess. How could Dad inflict such abuse on Mother Earth?
It was 40-odd years ago, and nobody talked about the environment back then.
But it was still illegal to dump stuff like that.
Oh, yes, it was, but I'm afraid it was commonplace to ignore the law. An excuse, I know. You spoken to the others?
Well, I called Adam, but he hasn't managed to get hold of Debbie yet, and Alice will still be at work.
But the plan is still to reconvene the meeting tomorrow, is it?
Yeah.
And what are your thoughts? I mean, how do you think we should proceed?
I don't know, Mum. Yes, I'm furious with Dad, obviously, but this is going to sound really hypocritical after I criticised you for keeping quiet, but I'm coming round to the idea that maybe it would be for the best if we just all kept our mouths shut and let Dad do what he thinks is right. I mean, he's managed it for this long. Is it just going to cause even more problems if we don't support him?
Well, there is something to be said for that.
So is that how you'll vote?
Oh, Kate, I am just sick and tired of the whole business. It's tearing this family apart and our... Well, I don't know what to do for the best, darling. I honestly don't know.
Hello?
Oh, you're in here.
Yeah. Yeah, you caught me.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I was just looking for somewhere quiet.
It's a bit of a madhouse indoors, isn't it? Did you get all your stuff unpacked?
Yeah, kind of taken over, haven't we? I was trying to get Poppy ready for bed, but she won't be separated from Kira. I just left it to Mum and Emma.
Very wise.
Anyway, I won't intrude.
Oh, no, don't be daft. Got a few cans of beer here, or there's plenty of cider in the barrel if you prefer that.
Well, I don't want to disturb you.
No, you won't be.
Well, but this is your place.
Come on, Will, have a drink with me.
Well, I wouldn't say no to a beer.
How are they doing?
What, the deer?
Yes, the deer.
Fine.
The hinds must be close to calving now, aren't they?
Yes, not long now.
So you've been giving them a bit of extra concentrate?
Obviously.
Good.
Anything else you wanted to know?
Have you spoken to Debbie yet?
I told you, Brian, she's been in back-to-back meetings all day.
But we're supposed to be meeting...
I know. Not much I can do about it, though, is there?
Sorry. Just all this waiting around.
Not knowing what's going on? Frustrating, isn't it?
Fair enough.
She's going to ring me at 7, okay?
Okay.
So you'll just have to be patient.
And Grandad used to give us little cups of it, do you remember?
Yeah.
Because it was important, he said, for Grundy boys to grow up knowing what good cider should taste like.
That was very good.
And then you remember that time you nicked the keys to the outhouse where they used to keep it?
Yeah, and we knocked it back like it was lemonade. Oh, I've never been so sick in all my life.
It was ages before I could face drinking cider again.
Yeah, me too. I'd still rather have a beer these days.
Well, have another one.
Are you sure?
Yeah, go on, help yourself.
Cheers. I keep forgetting.
That she's gone?
Yeah. I start enjoying myself, like just, and then... feel guilty for smiling, really.
Well, Nick wouldn't want that, would she?
To die like that? From a stupid cut on her wrist?
Yeah, I know.
I tried so hard to look after her, to keep her safe from... Well, from everything. But in the end, I failed. I let her down. It was my job to protect her. Sorry. I'm rambling. Probably the beer.
What do you mean, protect her?
Ah, yeah, you know, just stuff, you know.
Didn't it do something?
Well, I don't really want to talk about this, Ed.
You can tell me, Will.
She was amazing, wasn't she? She was a good person.
Yeah, of course she was.
Right, it wasn't her fault.
What wasn't?
Matt Crawford. She ran him over. It was Nick. And I helped her cover it up.
I got a text from Alice. She's running a bit late.
Oh, no.
But she should be here by 5:30.
You know, she's changed her mind. Yeah, she rang me this morning and said she'd slept on it, decided that we all make mistakes and Brian should be forgiven and allowed to do what he thinks best.
After the fuss she made on Wednesday?
Yeah, let Brian have it with both barrels, didn't she?
What on earth made her change her mind like that?
I don't know. Maybe it's something to do with Price Bowman reneging on their deal.
How strange. Though Kate agrees with her.
Yeah, I didn't expect that either.
You know, Kate, trying to predict her next move's always been a game of chance.
I gave up trying to work her out years ago. Daddy's girls, hey?
Yes.
And how about you, Mum? What do you think we should do?
I honestly don't know, darling. I was awake half the night worrying about it. But I still can't decide what would be for the best.
Well, I had a long chat with Ruth earlier on, and we are pretty much of one mind.
Yes, I thought you might be.
Ah, that's Debbie at last. Let's see what she has to say. Hi, Debbie.
Nick had been to fetch Poppy from Bev's. She picked up some bug and was running a temperature. And Nick's desperate to get her home, so she's probably going a bit faster than she should. And just as she's coming round the bend, Poppy throws up. And just for that one stupid second, she takes her eyes off the road.
Is that when she hit him?
Yeah.
But why didn't she stop?
She did. Of course she did. Got out of the car and saw something lying on the verge. And she tried to call for help, but there's no signal down there.
Yeah.
So she's stuck on the lane. It's dark. Phone doesn't work. By now, Poppy's in her right old state. So Nick gets back in the car and drives home. And what else was she supposed to do?
And you were at home?
Yeah. Well, she comes in, white as a sheep, sobbing, hysterical. Poppy's screaming and covered in sick. Well, Nick wasn't making sense. My first thought was, well, it's got to be a deer she hit. But she kept screaming, no, it was a person.
Oh, my God.
No, I couldn't be sure. So I leave her to get Poppy sorted and clean her up and everything. I tell her not to do anything till I come home. I get in the car, drive down there to where it happened.
What did you see?
As I got close, I could see blue lights flashing.
So someone had called an ambulance?
And the cops. Road's all blocked off. Oh, but there's this taxi pulled up nearby. And the driver's standing there gawping. So I asked him what happened. He said he saw the body lying there. Looked a right mess, he says. Whoever hit him must have been going at a hell of a lick. So I turned the car around and drove home. I panicked, Ed. I really panicked.
So what did you do?
And first thing I did was get a torch, have a look at the front of the car, see the damage. There was a fair... You know, nothing I couldn't sort out. But the car was really muddy and you could see where the body had landed. So I got a bucket of water and washed it.
You washed the car?
I know it sounds stupid, but I just knew I had to somehow protect Nick.
Oh my God, Will.
Anyway, by the time I got back inside, she's climbing the walls. And when I tell her she had hit someone, she immediately grabs the phone to call the police. So I grab it off her and tell her, well, what I felt. And there's no way I'm going to let her be done for dangerous driving and leaving the scene and that. And that I'd sort the car, so there wasn't nothing linking her to the accident.
Yeah, but isn't that perverting the course of justice or something?
Well, she went mad. I've never seen her so angry. Said I shouldn't have touched the car. Panicked that she killed someone. Well, she wanted to call the cops and tell them everything, but...
I should have taken you down with her for covering it up.
And then, well, what would have happened to the kids?
So you kept quiet?
I can't say I'd quite thought it through, but yeah. Seemed like the right thing to do at the time. Oh, she felt terrible. We both did. But I managed to persuade her to at least wait to hear how the person was.
But what if Matt had died?
Well, he didn't though, did he? We found out the next day it was him and that he was injured. But then he got better, didn't he? Left hospital and a few days later did a bunk. And everyone seemed glad to see the back of him. So there didn't seem much point owning up and getting ourselves into trouble. Not for a man like that.
Yeah, but people were hauled in for questioning. Adam, Justin...
Nick said that if anyone was charged, she'd fess up. There was no way she'd let someone else get banged up for something she did. But, you know, time passed and nothing happened. The police didn't seem to know anything. It all just went away. And eventually Nick started to relax a bit. Although, she never really shook off the guilt. She had nightmares for months about it. They only stopped not long before she...
Oh, I don't know what to say. I can't believe it.
But you know what? I wouldn't change it.
What, really?
Well, she'd have gone to court and people would have judged her. Maybe she'd have even gone to prison. The last few months of her life weren't like that. She were at home with me and the kids, and that's where she wanted to be. Maybe I should feel guilty, but honestly, I don't, Ed. Not one bit. I did the right thing. We both did the right thing.
So you've spoken to Debbie?
Yes.
Well, what'd she say?
The others will be here in 10 minutes, Brian.
Yeah, but can't you give me some idea of how things stand?
All I can tell you is that nothing's been decided.
But what about the estate contract?
Oh, there's no disagreement there. We all know that hanging on to that has to be our top priority. And we all accept your analysis of the situation.
What do you mean?
That you are the problem. The reason that Martin is so determined to take the contract away from us. So the solution has to be to remove you from the equation.
So we're back with my original proposal?
Not quite.
But that'll solve it, won't it? If I resign the chairmanship of BL and we set up a separate company to handle the arable...
Both Alice and Kate think that's the way forward.
Alice does?
Oh, yes. Despite her dismay at your having lied to us.
And Kate as well?
Mm-hmm. They're both prepared to go along with your plan.
Oh, well, good for them. Oh, that is excellent news.
But I don't think your plan goes far enough.
In what way?
In my opinion... The time has come for you to retire. Properly, this time. Not just from the BL chair, but from running the farm.
I beg your pardon.
I've had two long conversations with Debbie about this, and she's in complete agreement.
No, no, I can't accept that. You can't fire me from my own business.
And Ruth, too, believes it's the best way forward.
This is my farm.
No. Technically, it isn't, Brian.
I built it up from nothing.
It belongs to the Home Farm Partnership, in which you are just a shareholder. Remember?
But... You said Kate and Alice were happy with my original plan.
Yes.
So their shares, plus yours and mine, Jenny, add up to 8. Whereas yours, Adam, with Debbie's and Ruth's, that's only 5. You can't win.
Which is why I said to you at the beginning, nothing is yet decided. When the others get here, we'll have to discuss the matter further.
But if my plan has majority backing...
It doesn't.
What?
You could at least... Do me the courtesy, Brian, of asking me how I'm going to vote.
But I naturally assumed...
You assumed wrongly. I'm sorry.
You can't be serious, Jenny.
Adam, Debbie and Ruth are right. I don't like it, but I've made my decision. So, with my 3 shares, there's a clear majority in favour of you stepping aside from the management of the farm.
No, Jenny, you can't do this to me. You can't!
Hello. This is the BBC.
Hello, I'm Paul Lewis, and I'm here to tell you about the Moneybox podcast. Moneybox is all about your money, how you earn it, spend it, save it, invest it, and how you stop anyone else taking it from you. Sadly, there's a lot of that about.
By the Monday, we was advised that we'd lost the £3 million, which is virtually everything that we had in there.
It's not all gloom, though. We cover pensions, benefits, banking, insurance, tax, and getting money back when things go wrong.
Whenever any customer feels any inconvenience from us, if we make an error, I am deeply sorry for that.
Sign up wherever you usually get your podcasts from.